How many of you were up at dawn celebrating Easter Day? I looked.
You weren't.
We had the chocolate.
I don't think we want to know that. Okay, can we hear that later? Bless your heart.
But it's really lovely. Some people do, and I think last year they did somewhere in Ipswich. And I looked online to see if there was one. Not that I would have been there this morning, you understand, but I just thought it would be quite interesting. Because over 20 years ago, Jan and I were serving a church in Chiang Mai in Thailand. And the picture you're looking at there is actually the River Ping, which runs through the city of Chiang Mai. That rather posh looking hotel, we weren't there, really. It was the best photograph I could find. Okay. But we were gathered along the riverbank with a lot of other Christians. There are a lot of Christian missionaries out there and various others who came in our congregation, but there were lots of other congregations dotted around who came into Chiang Mai to celebrate Easter. And it was just fantastic. We watched and waited for the sun to rise. And there was something just, wow, you know how it is? It just was so splendid to do that. Now, I'm not suggesting that next year you should do that. That's not where I'm at. But it was just that amazing thing. And I talked about before, didn't I, that, you know, how it must have felt to be on that first Easter morning, you know. And it was extraordinary. Because after the deep darkness and disappointment of Good Friday comes the relief and the rejoicing of the risen Christ. But you have to get through that disappointment first, don't you, to get there. And out of the darkness comes the light. So the passage we're looking at this morning is Luke 24, his report on that first morning. So Luke 24, just the first 12 verses I'm going to read. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered out of the hands of sinners, into the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. When we review the scriptures that we know so well, and I'm sure most of you know that scripture really, really well, it's sometimes easy to just move on because we know that one, don't we? So I'm going to pray now that we might see with fresh eyes. Lord, we ask you, both speaker and listener alike, that you would show us some special truth that you alone know that we need to see and understand. That we may grow stronger and may come closer to you in all that we do and say as a result of this Resurrection Sunday. Amen. So, if you've been there with the ladies at that time of the morning, notice there are no men up at that time of the morning. And they were up, they had prepared. Of course, you know that on Good Friday, they couldn't do what they would normally do what was absolutely essential to be done, as far as they were concerned, the body needed to be embalmed, and they couldn't do that because it was the Sabbath, so they weren't able to do that. So they had to wait 24 hours. I mean, it must have been awful for them. This was so against the Jesus whom they'd followed, who was so close to them and their Saviour, and they wanted so much to do the best they could for him, and then the very ordinary things, inverted commas, that they could do for his body, they couldn't do. And that must have been absolutely awful for them. So they waited through the night, and as dawn broke, they found their way. And they, Luke tells us that they had been watching, this party of women had been watching Jesus on Golgotha. They watched him go through the process of cruel process of crucifixion. And yeah, they set off a crack of dawn for the tomb. How did they know the tomb? Well, they had followed Joseph to where he laid Jesus' body. Faithful women as they were, the faithful. You can have that one next one. That's it. Thank you. It's interesting, in Mark's account of this going on here, he records that as they were going towards the tomb, they were worried about who was going to move the stone. I mean, several soldiers had put this stone in front of them, and it needed several beefy soldiers. Sorry, ladies. But they were worried about how that would be removed. But of course, in Luke's gospel, we know that the stone, when they arrived, had already been rolled away. Who moved the stone? Somebody wrote a book like that, didn't they? And it's really interesting. And of course, Matthew's account suggests that there was an earthquake, which did it, and that's very likely to have been the case. But the worst was not yet there. The fact that the tomb was open was good, because at least they could get in and do what they'd come to do, to embalm the body. But the worst was, they went in to embalm the body and there was no body! Help! The body they'd seen in the cross, that Joseph and Nicodemus had taken down from the cross and wrapped in linen and placed in this tomb, was no longer there. And if I had been with them, I'd have been downcast too, as they were. And then comes this lovely picture, these two men. It says, it doesn't actually say they're angels. It says, while they were wondering about this, in verse 4, suddenly two men, in clothes that gleamed like lightning. Ladies, what does that look like? I don't know. Clothes gleamed by lightning. It's interesting, isn't it? But the realization came through these men. They bowed down, the women, obviously, quite scared. And then the men said, listen, why are you looking for the living among the dead? That's a brilliant statement, isn't it? Isn't it absolutely brilliant? That's a showstopper. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. And then they are reminded by them, don't you remember he told you? He prophesied just this. So he did, they say. And the penny drops. I don't blame them. I'm sure if I'd heard Jesus say those words just as the rest of the people who did, they would not have associated this. They wouldn't have seen this. It was too much for the human mind and emotion to take in over 3 days. No way. Even if I did remember. And at my age, I have to tell you, I probably have forgotten well before. But the realization immediately changed their mood, of course. And they thought, whoa, we haven't got the body. We must go and tell the men. Well, that's presumably how they felt anyway. They rushed back to the upper room, and confronted the what I'm calling the unbelievers, which is a bit unkind, really, because... But the women were faithful. They returned to the 11 plus. It says 11 plus others. So this was the upper room and likely to be a lot of people up there, probably praying. And the account we get here from Luke tells us that it was just Peter went. Actually, John's gospel tells us that John went with Peter. And but oh dear men. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. How many times, women, have you felt that you've spoken truths which the men have then dismissed as nonsense? It's just women's chat. I'm sorry, I'm sure that's not the case. But here we are, and they didn't understand, and neither should they. And Peter and John at least get up to go and investigate. And they go to the tomb, and they find it as the ladies have said. Now, for us, all these years later, what does that mean? What does Easter actually mean? Even as we've been singing these wonderful songs, and I love them, and I ran out of the grave. That picture is just so fantastic. Sorry, it's just with me at the moment, and I can't get rid of it, but yeah. Well, the first thing is that Jesus is alive today. The problem with our recounting the story of 2,000 years ago, as soon as you say that to someone living today, they say, oh, it's history, isn't it? How could it have an impact on today? Jesus is alive today. It's not history, he's here now. Where two or three are gathered, he comes to be with us. He is here now. He is with us now. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what Jesus promised. And he keeps his promises. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is, John. That's all right. Don't worry. But the reality is, okay, Jesus is alive. You see, our God, the one and true and living God, is alive today. Ask the Buddhist, where's Buddha? Ask the Hindu, where their gods are. Ask the Muslim, where the Prophet Muhammad is. Ask a Christian, and he should say, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is alive and in heaven now, preparing to come back to take his people to be with him for eternity in heaven. That is our God. That's what Easter signals for us. That is the guarantee for us. That's why it's so important. That's why it's such good news. You know, the courts of law say, where's the evidence? The evidence is here. The evidence is the church of today, which many people want to poo-poo and say isn't growing. Well, it may not be in some places, but I tell you, in some places, it's like fire. The reality is that God is in heaven right now. He has a plan, and his plan, there is no plan B, it's plan A, and it is being worked out, and you and I are part of that plan. Wow. So, Jesus is alive today. He's the one and true and living God. What's the next thing? Well, the next thing is we've already been talking about, that God's promises are true. His resurrection, his ascension, were all actually prophesied way before. On Good Friday, if you weren't able to be with us, we looked at Isaiah 53. 700 years before Jesus came, that Isaiah received that prophecy. And all of it has come true, or at least Isaiah 53 has come true, and is coming true still. So like the women at the tomb, Let's remember those promises and let's live in the light of those promises. And I agree, brothers and sisters, it ain't easy. You look around the world today and you have to say, God is not, you know, have you got a plan B up your sleeve? Because it doesn't seem that it's working. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. God keeps his promises. And the third thing I want to suggest is, of course, Jesus himself said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He's the only way. The only way. He's the only God who came from heaven and has gone back to heaven and promises to come from heaven again to take his people to be with him for eternity. That is our Saviour Jesus. I love it, don't you?
Yes,
John. Thank you very much. Good for you. And mine's a coffee, okay? And a chocolate whiskey. Oh, love. In 1930, a communist leader called Bukharin travelled from Moscow to Kyiv. Amazing, isn't it? In Ukraine. And he went there to address a large rally about atheism. And after 1 hour of vitriolic torrent designed to humiliate and destroy any faith in a God, there was utter silence about this huge crowd. And then he said, any questions? And from the back came this man. And he came up to the microphone and he stood before the people. And he looked left and he looked right. And he shouted, Christ is risen! And back came the roar from the crowd, he is risen indeed! That is the answer to atheism. That is the answer to any other God. There is no other God like Christ. There is no other Saviour. There are lots of gods, but no other Saviour. The only Saviour is Jesus Christ. So, are you ready? Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Oh, now, come on, come on, come on. Good grief. You could do more than that. The WR. No, sorry. But you know what I mean, don't you? Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Amen!
Amen!
Hallelujah. That's why Easter is so important to us. That's why we are so important to each other. Do you know that? We need to keep pressing on. And sometimes pressing on is really hard, isn't it? Sometimes you look around and you say, God, I'd just like to hang up our boots. Jan and I have been retired now since 2014. We just like to hang up our boots. But you know what? He hasn't finished with us yet. And until we get to heaven, he won't finish with us. And when we get to heaven, I have no idea what's going on there. I have no special information yet. But brothers and sisters, he is real. His promises are true. He loves you, he has saved you, and as long as you have put your trust in him, as long as you are willing to follow what he gives you to do, whatever it is, small or large, he will carry you through. He will. He promises and he will. And now all we have to do is to go out and tell. Go out and tell others. Go out and have this. Yeah, wouldn't it be wonderful if next Easter this place was packed with people all saying we want to hear what it is you have that we don't have, because the world is going to hell in a handcart without him. He is the only way. He is the only answer. And you and I have that answer. Praise the Lord. He's trusted it to us. Wow. Let's find ourselves trustworthy with what he gives us to do. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we rejoice together because you love us, because you've chosen us, because you've called us, because we've been able to run out of that grave that had trapped us. And now, Lord, with this good news, we want to be in a position to tell others. We want to be like those angels, in a sense, looking so different, shining like lightning, so that people say, "What is it, John? What have you got?" Because we have a God who is true and loving and the only Savior in the world. So, Lord, go with us, we pray. Anoint us, enable us. May we be found not wanting, not backward, but running in whatever cause you have placed us. Oh, Jesus, thank you for all you're doing that we do not see, and all that you will do that we shall see. Amen. Amen.